Simone invited, Dover, Shiva invited about all the Shana Aleph guys into the office, Shana Aleph, the back guys, the big office that Shiva has. And I would say about, I don't know, 67 people packed into the room along the floor. They brought in chairs around the couch. And he said, "Nu, what's on your guys' mind?" One guy raised his hand, asked a question, and he took about an hour and a half's worth of questions from about 2 o'clock till about 3:30. We stopped. We daven mincha. And he said, "I'm going to try to share with you a little bit of an insight, which will cover a lot of the answers. Won't cover everything." And he proceeded to share the following sicha for about 2 more hours. And the guys walked out like Har Sinai had just occurred. It was unbelievable. So I'm going to try my best to reproduce as much of it as I can. Nothing's a guarantee. Very overwhelming. What?
You can go a little over.
And I'm going to try my best to give the general idea over as best as I can. But first, people should realize that everything we're saying is historical fiction. None of it actually ever happened. The whole story that I'm about to share with you is made up. It's not true. It didn't actually occur. And the level of Metzius never actually occurred. However, it very much occurred on a hashkafic plane, and hopefully you'll understand what I'm talking about. The Sikha was so central that by Tarragon, has a picture in his office which almost captures exactly what the Sikha is supposed to portray. Here comes historical fiction that he suggested. Right after the Holocaust, in 1950 or so, beginning of the establishment of the state, Hakamas Medina, different Gedolim got together, four different Gedolim got together to discuss Am Yisrael's future. One was Rabbi Soloveitchik, one was Rav Tzvi Yehuda, HaKohen Kok, Rav Kok's son. One was the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and one was Rav Shach. And the question was, how do we rebuild? How do we move forward? How do we continue onwards? Needless to say, Klal Yisrael was ripped apart. A third of the people were killed, and that's a complimentary way of saying it. Not only were the individuals destroyed, but yeshivas and bate knesiot and bate midrashim and communities and rabbanim and balabatim and institutions. Hundreds of European cities. Millions of Jews. And I'm not sure if it was equally damaging, but perhaps equally challenging to overcome was the fact that whoever remained was broken. Poverty-stricken, demoralized, not just the survivors from the Holocaust, but wherever you were in the world, there was no sense of Jewish pride. People wondered in America in the 1950s, is this the end of Orthodox Jewry? Everyone had full faith that conservative and reform Jewry would carry on. But will anyone be Orthodox in America 50 years from now? Will that model exist in the world? And therefore the Gedolim got together to try to brainstorm, come up with some ideas, suggestions. What can we do to ensure a stronger religious Jewish future? Chas v'shalom, we don't think Shem will ever allow Klal Yisrael to end. Netzach Yisrael. We believe in Netzach Yut. But nonetheless, the difference in quantity, the difference in quality, well, maybe that's Tolei Ban. That depends on how we progress forward. And each of the four Gedolim, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Shach, Lubavitcher Rebbe, and Rav Tzvi Yehuda, decided they're going to go home, prepare over the next 2 weeks a plan, a project of how they suggest Klal Yisrael should focus their energies, focus their funds, focus their talent, focus their money, focus their time. Where do we want to invest? And as they all agreed, 2 weeks later they came back. And the first to get up and speak was Rav Shach. And Rav Shach suggested, what we've lost in Europe, the catastrophical impact that the Holocaust had above and beyond Jewish lives, was on the Olam HaTorah. There used to be Gedolei Torah. There used to be Talmidei Chachamim. There used to be people who knew the difference between Torah and not. I fear that this will cause a tremendous, irreplaceable loss in Klal Yisrael's knowledge of Torah. And therefore I suggest we channel up all our money, bring the people together, and create serious kollelim, where people sit and learn for 20, 30, 40 years, as long as they can. They should learn for days, a week, weeks, a year, years of a lifetime, 10 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 40 years. If they can learn forever, even better. And if not, let them at least learn as much as they possibly can, so they grow as Talmidei Chachamim. Yerushalayim should have the most of them, but there should be yeshivas around the country. Some in America, some in England, some in France. We should build yeshivas and produce Gedolei Torah, like Rav Shimon Shkop, and like Rav Baruch Ber, like Rav Zalman Meltzer, and the Gedolim from Europe. And the Chavetz Chaim, Chaim Moser, the list goes on. He sits down. And the Soloveitchik says to him, I'm all for Torah, but, you know, you're going to have people sitting and learning in Kola for 30 years straight. Mistamid will have a few children, 3, 4, maybe 6, 7, 8. Who's going to pay for all this? There are going to be people who will be poverty stricken. They're going to have no money for the children. They'll be poor. Rav Shach responded, Hashem's going to provide. We'll try our best to have Gabay Tzedakah. We'll try our best to build the best possible system we can. But you're right, people will be poor. People won't have a lot of money. It's not a materialistic culture we're trying to build. We're trying to build godless Betorah. Rav Soloveitchik then said, you realize that you may create a situation where people associate frumkeit with schnurring? That one day people may look at Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim and say, these are the two poorest towns in Eretz Yisrael? Do you realize one day Jews who don't buy into your ideology may look at you as parasitical? Do you realize one day people who don't subscribe to your Kola lifestyle may be turned off by how poor your children are? And Rav Shach said, if people are turned off by me lifting up a lulav, would I stop lifting up a lulav? If people think tzitzis are ugly, should I stop wearing tzitzis? And then Lubavitcher Rebbe asked Rav Shach, you're going to gather up as many Jews as you can. What are we talking? 500? 5,000? 50,000 after the Holocaust, gather up Jews to sit and learn in Kollel? 500,000? No way. I don't think you'll get to anything close to here. But if you get to 500,000, there are 12 million Jews still left in the world. 18 million before the Holocaust, 12 million afterwards. That means 11.5 million. What are you going to do with them? What are you going to say to them? Just let them intermarry? In Europe, it was different. They lived in the ghetto. There were Jewish sections. They didn't intermarry. A little bit in Germany, but in Poland and Russia and Romania and most of the, certainly Eastern Europe, and even half of Western Europe outside of the major cities. Do you realize how great the assimilation rate could be, said the Lubavitcher Rebbe to Rav Shach? And Rav Shach responded, no plan we have is going to save everyone. Let's try our best to build what we can build. And Lubavitcher Rebbe said, do you really believe building 50,000 Talmidei Chachamim is better than 500,000 Shabbases and Kashrus and Taras and Mishpachas? And Rav Shach says, who is it for me to judge? I don't know. Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, let me ask you a question, Rav Shach. You plan on sending your Talmidim to the army? And Rav Shach said, no. It'll water down the intensity. It'll minimize how much they learn. It'll damage their religious shmiras hamitzvahs. You're going to send your people, Rav Kook? You realize that one out of about 7 or 8 religious Jews stops keeping Shabbos in the army? 1 out of 10? 1 out of whatever the number is? You're willing to, you know, to do that? And Rav Tzvi Yehuda responded and said, I hear the claim. But to build a country requires a military. Happens to be a mitzvah d'araisa, and if people stop keeping Shabbos as they keep kashrus, what can I do? You try your best to do all the mitzvahs. And going to the army is a mitzvah, and building a country is a mitzvah. And Rav Shach said, let's see how many of your children maintain a sense of frumkeit, let's see how many of mine. Let's see the svarim that come from your community, let's see the svarim that come from mine. Rav Shach got down. And next was Rav Tzvi Yehuda. He got up second. And he said, could you imagine what would have happened in 1936 if there was a Medinas Yisrael, if we would have had a country? Do you realize how history could have gone down differently? You know, every single day, the train tracks to Auschwitz brought in, I don't know, 40,000 people? 20,000, whatever the number was? You realize if we would have bombed it one day earlier, how many Jewish lives we would have saved, let alone 6 months earlier? Could you imagine if we had the ability to develop an Air Force? And not just rely on optimism that hopefully Roosevelt knows, and if he knows, hopefully he'll bomb it, and it turns out he didn't, and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions even died because of that. But not just protect our own people and stand up after 2,000 years of being pushed around Gullus. But you know, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel once upon a time prophesied about returning home. And you want to know what? We can bring that prophecy to fruition. We can bring Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael. We can build a country here. We can bring back Jewish self-autonomy, Yeter al Alpayim Shana. Do you realize what we can do here? And Lubavitcher Rebbe said to him, how many Jews do you think you're going to bring in? You know, in 1948 there were 600,000 Jews in Israel. Again, you're missing 11.4 million Jews around the world. That's not even 10%. 10%, about. 11%, 10%. Less, sorry. It's not even 5%. It's about 5%, just over. You're giving up on 94% of the people? Wow, that's real. Eretz Yehuda said, no, let's send out Shlichim to the world. We'll make a big pitch for 3 years. We'll bring in people, gather them around, send them to bring them together. Inspire. I imagine we can gather up lots of people. If we send a message, we build an economy, we do all sorts of good things. And Lubavitcher Rebbe said, you want to know what if you get to 4 million, which I don't think you'll get to. Well, what about the other 8? They all want to go to the land where the streets are paved with gold. Or some other type of affluent country where they could develop fiscally and make money. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, it's important we should build an empire here in Eretz Yisrael. Because you build another one in America, who knows if the world will cover us when we need him? Who knows if the world will protect us? Rav Shach said to, Tzvi Yehuda, when you build a country, you're going to send everyone to the army, you're going to have no one college educated if I send them to university. He said, yeah, some are going to have to go to university, we'll build yeshivas, but some will go to university, we'll make a parnasa. Rav Shach said, it doesn't take a rocket science to realize the more you give them openness to the world, the more people will fall. And it's you that responded, the more you try to close them in against their will, the more they'll rebel and not like it. The question is not, will we have an open country? The question is, can we make the open country that will exist be from? The question isn't, shouldn't we make an open country or not? You know, with all due respect, Rav Shach, you speak for less than a percentage of the people. The other 99%, certainly here in Israel, want a secular country. Can we infuse it with frumkeit? Can we make kosher food for the army? Can we allow for Hilchos Shabbos to go on? Can we bring in kosher food? Will there be a time where religious soldiers can daven three times a day? These are major nafkaminas. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda sat down. And next, the Lubavitcher Rebbe stood up. And Lubavitcher Rebbe said, here's my suggestion. I believe the biggest, most daunting, overwhelming, and scary concern, frightening concern, is assimilation. Although we lost 6 million in Eastern Europe, people believe in the United States alone since 1950, we've lost well over 6 million to assimilation. There were about 6 million in 1950, 1960 in America. By 2015, they projected to be at 18 million. It's about 5. Those are very scary numbers. That's 13 million people to assimilation, according to the statistics I've heard. Now, it could be some didn't marry and some did, but a lot of it was intermarriage. How could you allow that to occur? You want to build Talmid Chachamim? What about Shabbos? You want to build Eretz Yisrael? What about the basics? Kashrus. What I suggest, said Lubavitcher Rebbe, is to create a center where people go out all over the world, we'll call it Shlichus, where they learn a year or two in yeshiva and then go out and build mikvos and build Gan Israel camps or whatever and build batei knesiot and batei midrashot. We'll meet people in the streets and ask if they want to fulfill a mitzvah like tefillin, because every mitzvah draws you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll invite them to our houses. We'll share with them the beauty of Torah any way possible. Rav Soloveitchik said, that sounds like a fantastic dream. Be going to send them out with long coats and beards and expect people in Omaha, Nebraska, and Birmingham, England, and Queen Elizabeth, South Africa, to respect a person who looks like he's from the Amish country? Or from 1850s in Eastern Europe? If you produce clean-cut people, well-educated people, people who can speak proper English, people who can communicate ideas with sophistication, people who are college educated, you're going to have so much more of an impact. How do you expect a person with a PhD in rocket science or physics or chemistry to respect a person who has his third grade degree in Tanya? And Lubavitcher Rebbe responded to Rabbi Soloveitchik and said, the more you water down Torah, the more Torah gets watered down. doesn't come across pure, doesn't come across real. You teach people depth of Torah, they'll see it for what it is. You don't have to mask it in PhDs. And Rav Shach said to Lubavitcher Rebbe, how old are you going to send out your shlichim? Lubavitcher Rebbe said, 20, 22, 24. And Rav Shach said, you're sending them out with pistols. Why don't you let them learn for 40 years, 20 years, and go out at age 40? You're sending them out with rifles, with cannons. Why are you sending them out so young? They have to go build a mikveh. They don't know anything about Halachas Mikvos. You send them out to teach Shabbos. They don't know Halachas Shabbos. Lubavitcher Rebbe said, we'll teach him Hilchas Shabbos, teach him Hilchas Mikvos. There'll be seminars and projects where you learn how to do these things. Rav Shach said, give me a break. You can't produce a Talmud Chacham in 2 years. Send them when they're 30, when they're 35. And Lubavitcher Rebbe said, you send them when they're 35 with 4 children, they don't want to go. When they're 20 years old and they have no children or 1 child. When they're young and idealistic and believe they can conquer the world. That's when you send them out. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, you want to send out shlichim? And said the Lubavitcher Rebbe, yes. He goes, where are you going to send them from? 770 Eastern Parkway, Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York, USA. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, why don't you send them from Yerushalayim? And mekayem the nevuah ki mitzion teitzei Torah dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Why don't you send them from Yerushalayim? And Lubavitcher Rebbe said, if they leave from Yerushalayim, they'll constantly be yearning to return home. They'll have their head over their shoulders, wondering when they can come back home. If they leave from Crown Heights, significantly less so. And last, Rav Soloveitchik got up to make his presentation, to share his thoughts. And he said, the world we live in is a modern world. Jews want modernity. Jews want to be inculcated into American culture, Western culture. They want to be English. They want to be French. They want to be Western European, not Eastern European. They want to be American. They want to develop the culture of the new world that they've bumped into, that they've arrived in. If you don't offer them Torah that matches that mindset, they won't accept the Torah. The choice is not Haredi Jewry or modern Orthodoxy. The choice is modern secular life or modern Orthodoxy. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, I therefore suggest we build an institution, one which captures, produces serious Torah on the highest level, Gedolei Torah, Talmidei Chachamim, top-notch thinkers, Rashi Yeshiva, but also Balabatim, who not just have heard of the Ketzos, but read the Ketzos. Not just keep Halacha, but are Talmidei Chachamim, or Yodei Sefer. And Lubavitcher Rebbe said again, that's great, let's start one in Yerushalayim, let's start one in Tel Aviv, let's start several of them. And the Rav responded, you're more than welcome to, but right now the bulk of the Jews are in New York, more than any other city in the world. And that's where we have to build this institution. And Lubavitcher Rebbe said, you know, there's a lot of fears of opening up to the world of modernity. You open up the world to too much education, people start learning philosophy, people start having philosophical questions. You open to the world of science, people start asking about the creation of the universe. You give them the sophisticated thought they're looking for, you'll see if it comes back to bite you. Soloveitchik responded and said, if I give it to them or not, that's what they want. We need to create a voice that speaks to the modern world. And Rav Shach said, if you learn 2 star a day opposed to 3, it's a 30-year Torah. That's finishing 2/3 of Masechta. Learning 2/3 of Hilchas Kashrus or Hilchas Shabbos or whatever. If you want to produce Talmidei Chacham, it has to be Kulo Torah. Soloveitchik responded, if you wanted to produce Talmidei Chacham, it does not be Kulo Torah. It has to be a high level of Torah. And Adarabba, You expose people to sophisticated thought, to broader ideas. They become sophisticated people. They become broader people. Broader people, broader sophisticated, with broader sophisticated ideas, understand Torah in a more sophisticated way. There's a certain clarity, a certain depth of understanding, of comprehension, that exists if you're exposed to more than just what the Ketzos has to say. The Ketzos is the most important thing, and the Rashba and the Ramban. But as a kli, to understand them better, to process them better, to have a better perspective. Yeah, it's true, you do see more. Whether hafachba, vafachba, dekulambo means there's nothing outside of Torah or not. The way we learn Torah doesn't give us the same perspective. And there's what to be gained from the broader secular knowledge. And Rav Shach responded and said, first of all, it's all found in Torah, nothing else. But even if you think there's values of science and math outside of Torah, is it worth the amount of time? Fewer mitzvos. And the Rav responded, are we looking to enumerate mitzvos? We're looking to develop a more sophisticated Oved Hashem, a deeper, more profound religious persona. These are the debates that, although never took place between these four men who never gathered into a room, it was certainly heard amongst their Talmidim. These were the hashkafic dilemmas people were dealing with, perhaps even then. Then Rav Alon asked probably the most important question, who's right? What's the real truth? How do you respond to a lot of these points? You know, how do you tell Rabbi Soloveitchik, if you become too broad, perhaps you'll lose a lot? How do you tell the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you send out shlichim all over the place, some of the children have become nafrum? How do you tell Rav Shach, if you make poverty-stricken Jews, most people won't want to be like them? How do you tell Rav Shach, if you don't send your children to the army, people will feel that you're using them as shields? You answer and say, our Torah protects you, doesn't work. People don't like that answer. How do you tell Ritzvi Yehuda, the people all the way around? And not only are the critiques legitimate, do we not need Jewish Talmid Chacham? Is Rav Shach not 100% right? Is Lubavitcher Rebbe not 100% right? Who's going to go out and care for every Jew's Shabbos? So Rav Soloveitchik not right? Do we not need a voice to speak to the modern world? One of sophisticated Torah? Is Rav Tzihuda not right? Do we not need to protect ourselves in our own country? Are we not building towards the potential geula which would outshadow any other potential goal? The real answer is everyone's right. The real answer is there's a multitude of goals. Torah is more sophisticated than just a narrow perspective on one particular element or one particular aspect. The question is not who's right, but which particular agenda, if only one, or which particular agendas do you believe you can bring Klal Yisrael further with? It's significantly easier to choose one and isolate everyone else. It's significantly easier to say, this is the MS and everyone else is wrong and I'm condescending towards them because I'm better. And all the Haredim do this and that and this wrong, and all the Siyam do that and that and this wrong, and the Lubavitchers all do this thing wrong, and everyone in modern Orthodox does something else wrong. The question becomes, are we willing to learn from each other? And are we willing to contribute different areas to Klal Yisrael based upon what's needed and based upon the natural kochos HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us? The real truth is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is more sophisticated than any one of these four rooms. And the question is, in 1950, and for that matter in 2015, how do I build the world? How do I make a contribution to Klal Yisrael? How do I give back an impact in a way that brings our nation and our national agenda further. It's a nationalistic question. Maybe more importantly, maybe more pertinent, it's an individualistic question. Can I have us add, Khan? Okay.